Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Income inequality hits a record level. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Census Bureau reports the income gap between rich and poor Americans last year was the largest on record. The top 20% of income earners, generally those making over $100,000 a year, received half of all the income generated in the country. With more on this story, Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us live from Washington. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bill.
Give us an idea. How fast is income inequality growing in this country?
Well, in the past year, the income gap, the way the census measures it, jumped over 7%. And that level of inequality is a record and double what it was back in 1967 when census first started tracking family income.
And do we know what effect the recession has had on income gaps?
All income levels have taken a pay cut, but the poor have been hit the hardest. The number of people in the lowest income groups is at a record high. The percentage of American families earning less than $11,000 a year jumped over the past year to above 6%. And there's a growing gap between young and old. Child poverty runs 21% compared to 9% for the elderly.
Amazing numbers. And how will this growing gap affect government policy, like taxes or support for safety net programs?
Yeah, just in the last 10 years, the number of children covered by government-sponsored health insurance has expanded from 24 to 37%. And it's likely that these new statistics will be brought up during the election year debate over whether to extend those expiring tax cuts for families making over $250,000 a year.
That's Marketplace's John Dimsdale, live in Washington. Thank you, John.
My pleasure.
Now let's do a few more numbers. Doesn't matter where you go around the world this morning, stocks are down, and it's about 1% across the globe. A big ratings agency downgraded Anglo-Irish Bank, saying that that bank has become less creditworthy. Wall Street's coming off a negative day when stocks were down about 0.5% across the board. The Dow Industrials lost 48 points to settle at 10,812. Are the safety laws on America's pipelines springing some leaks? That is what the U.S. Senate is debating today. That deadly natural gas explosion in San Bruno, California, this month has prompted calls for more pipeline upgrades and more federal oversight. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner has the story.
The Obama administration is proposing more inspectors for natural gas pipelines and stiffer fines for safety violations. But critics say old pipeline equipment needs replacing as well. In San Bruno, it took Pacific Gas and Electric nearly 2 hours to shut off the gas line, partly because the utility was still using a manual shutoff valve.
It's a big valve that someone actually has to drive through traffic to get to and turn by hand.
Rick Kessler is with the watchdog group Pipeline Safety Trust.
A remote valve would allow you to press a button from a control room and shut down the flow of gas almost immediately.
California Senator Barbara Boxer is pushing a bill to require remote shutoff valves on the nation's natural gas pipelines. Kessler says right now 7% of those pipelines run under high-risk areas like cities and suburbs. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by PBS, presenting Baseball, the 10th inning from Ken Burns, tonight at 8, 7 Central on most PBS stations.
This week, the United Kingdom celebrates one of its oldest industries by observing Cheese Week. Reporter Christopher Worth tells us the British cheese business has been booming, and the country's artisans are challenging their European competitors.
If you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit movies, you know the British have a reputation for eating cheese.
I'll never sleep after all that cheese.
While the French and Italians have a reputation for making it. But Juliet Harbit says Britain once had a cheese-making tradition that was just as vibrant as the rest of Europe.
And they went from something like 2,500, 3,000 cheesemakers at the beginning of the First World War to after the Second World War, we were down to about 300 or 400.
Harbit founded the British Cheese Awards 15 years ago. She's seen a big improvement in the industry since then. Today, there are over 700 different British cheeses, putting the UK ahead of France in the number of varieties per capita. Yes, someone actually measures that sort of thing. And the market for artisanal British cheeses hit $300 million last year. Harbit says the revival is due mostly to rock-bottom milk prices that have dairy farmers looking for new ways to make a profit.
What we need to do now is to put the curd into the molds.
At her small creamery in a village about an hour outside London, Anne Wigmore stirs a vat of cheese curds the size of a bathtub. She brings in around $180,000 a year for the various cow and sheep's milk varieties she began developing nearly 25 years ago.
It was called then a sort of new wave of cheesemakers coming through, actually producing a completely different cheese.
Instead of sticking with old traditional British cheeses, like standard cheddar, Wigmore says the new generation of British cheesemakers are incorporating different European styles to create innovative products, many with equally innovative names. Jason Hines is with Neal's Yard Dairy, a specialty cheese shop in London.
A lot of the cheeses are actually taking the names of the location of the place that they're made. Ticklemore is one, because the cheesemaker had a shop and it was at 1 Ticklemore Street.
Other names are even more imaginative. How about Wobbly Bottom, Cornish Yarg, and Stinking Bishop? Stinking Bishop may not sound like the most appetizing cheese, but the artisan who makes it reported demand jumped 500% after Wallace and Gromit sampled it in one of their movies. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, Deborah Smirling got a card in the mail from Harrah's Casino in Atlantic City saying, here's a $15 voucher you can spend gambling on Sunday, August 10th. So Deborah showed up just after midnight on Saturday the 9th, which is technically Sunday morning, but the casino told her, no, it's still Saturday night. You can't use this voucher until 8 in the morning. Well, if you've ever been in a casino at 8 a.m., you know it feels a little sad. Deborah sued Harrah's. Now the casino must pay $100 to her and 80,000 other people. And that's money they're free to gamble anytime they want. It is dark here in Los Angeles, and yet this is still the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.